Yeah, hi. Can I get a quad shot grande and a venti cup, half double cup, no sleeve, salted caramel mocha latte, 2 pumps of vanilla substitute, and 2 pump white chocolate for mocha, and that also being a substitute
Whoa,
with.
whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, Montana, what are you doing? We're recording the
Oh,
intro.
are we recording? I'm in line at Starbucks, man.
Wait, how do you have your microphone and laptop in your car at Starbucks at the drive-thru?
Easy. I'm on my hotspot. I have a dongle going outside my car window and to the other side, my mic is on, and that's where I'm getting the power source from.
Well, it's dangerous. We were just talking about this yesterday. Like, driving with your dongle out is not safe, and you can also get a ticket for indecent dongle exposure. So anyways, don't worry, I'll cut this out, but just tell hey
Please.
quickly just finish your order quick.
Okay, and sorry about that, Brisa. And half brie with no whipped cream, extra hot, extra foam, and extra caramel drizzle, extra salt, and a scoop of vanilla bean powder with light ice, well stirred. And also, I have a free reward number when you're ready.
Okay, well, that's enough. Oh my God, like you're a maniac. Like something, you need to have psychological evaluation. That's too much. Like you should just order one grande, no sugar, and that's it. Like this is too
No,
much. Anyways,
that's the maniac in you.
that's you know what? You could be right. Well, anyways, welcome everyone to the Young Flamingo Club, season two. I am Justin, and as you heard, Montana was ordering from Starbucks the drive-through on his hotspot in his car. He drives and podcasts. Who else does that? Does Joe Rogan do that? I don't think so. Montana, who is our guest today?
Our guest today is Summer Emerald. It may not be summer, but it certainly feels like it with this one. She made a video calling how stressful it is to run my lizard's Instagram account. And this actually blew up on Twitter, not really on Instagram, semi, but really it got a lot of attention on Twitter, and I watched it because I'm getting it sent everywhere. All my friends are telling me about it. I click on it, and next thing you know, I've noticed I've watched it 6 times, and it's shot on an actual VHS recorder, which is in itself artsy.
Yeah. And then we started digging into her Twitter more. Montana sent it to me and we just started going through it. And like, it's one of those Twitters where you can't tell completely if it's sarcasm or not, which is the best kind of Twitter. And she started getting a bunch of followers off that video and just growing. And so Montana and I were like, you know what? We need to talk to this girl and find out more about her. So we found out some interesting things that you'll hear. She lives in Canada, which I think alone is interesting in itself.
That is interesting. And we couldn't actually, it took a while to actually get her on the show because she's taking care of her lizard's Instagram account. So we've tried 2 or 3 times and it kept getting pushed back, pushed back, pushed back. Finally, she was able to get a pet sitter and sit down with us. So hopefully you'll enjoy this talk because this really actually had to take a lot of planning to get this one done.
Yeah, exactly. This is a different kind of show for us. This is a deep dive into the mindset of a lizard pet owner who runs their Instagram account. Like, I don't think anyone's talking about this. So this is fascinating
Now.
stuff. So I'll just go ahead and hit the play button. You know what I did this to? You know what I did today?
What'd you do today?
I printed out on our printer. I printed out a small little picture of a lizard and I taped it to the play key.
Wow.
Yeah.
In for Summer Emerald. See, this is gonna be an issue one, folks. Let's see if we can get it on the first time.
Okay, here we go. Where's that lizard? There's that lizard. I'm gonna smack it on the head.
I've known so many cows that I've ended up eating. I guess I'm pretty classic and then I just say shit or fuck. I haven't, like, spent much time in the United States or like investigated people's refrigerators. Yeah, kids should be allowed to swear.
The Young Flamingo Club.
Welcome to the Young Flamingo Club, Season 2. I think today is a really grim day. I'm looking outside, doesn't look too good. But what is not grim is our guest today, Summer Emerald. Before we get into what Justin is doing, as you know, he does something different every time we talk to him. Summer, what's going on? How's your day going?
It's pretty good. It's pretty grim outside today here as well. Very cloudy. I've just been painting all day, and I went and got some rye bread and ham from a deli down the street.
Now, Justin, I'm not sure what you've been up to today, but has it been anything close to that? I'm assuming you're getting high off like paint thinner or something.
No, I did. I have not done that today, but yesterday I did chop up some rye bread and snort it as a nice. It's a lot of people don't know about it, but like you can get a pretty good high off rye bread.
And the good news is the DEA does not listen to this podcast or the FBI or the CIA. So we are completely in the clear on that. All right. To kind of get into the actual podcast itself, Summer, how is the move? Because we had we had something scheduled earlier in the year. I think it was like a month ago. So it wasn't too earlier, but you said you were moving. How'd the move go?
It was good. I mean, it was just, I just had like a crazy month because 2 days after I got back from the Yukon, I moved. So I had to pack all my stuff before I left and then come back. And it was very hectic, but it went well.
Where did you move from and where did you move to?
Not very exciting, just to a different neighborhood in Montreal where I live. But now I have my own studio space at home, which is a massive upgrade. I used to just make everything in my bedroom. So
is that why you moved to the new space, so you could have space for your art?
No, I moved here like 5 years ago. I grew up on a farm in Ontario.
When you say farm, I'm thinking Yellowknife like area. Like does Yellowknife have farms?
Yellowknife, that's Northwest Territories. That's
North Pole.
I think that's a subarctic climate, or maybe even an Arctic climate. But we had the farm I was on, it's kind of difficult to explain because it was a dairy farm and then it was a beef farm. Just switched the type of cow that was there.
Did you guys, so it was dairy cows that you guys were like, wait, we're gonna kill them now?
No. Okay. We got to get rid of this stock. No, they just switched it. They switched it to, beef cows, which are just different looking. I'm sure they're different on the inside as well. That's not my area of expertise, but
what about dog beef or dog meat?
Oh, I was on dog meat all day yesterday.
Yeah, what's up with that? Let's hear about that. What's going on with dog meat?
Just because I was thinking, people get so mad when you talk about eating dog meat, and I don't understand why. I don't understand. I mean, I haven't eaten it myself. I haven't had the opportunity to. And I'm not out to kill my own dogs. I'm not advocating for us to kill our pets, but I've known so many cows that I've ended up eating. It's not disrespectful to eat your animal friend. So it's like, I don't get, people get so mad whenever you come out as pro dog meat. So I was just really on it all day yesterday, thinking about imagining my enemies in my mind who get mad at the idea of someone eating dog meat.
Wait, and when you say on it, what do you mean you're on it?
I was just thinking about dog meat all day.
Oh, and Montana, how did you know she was thinking about dog meat? Osmosis?
Osmosis and her Twitter account, which is extremely funny. Yeah, there you go. And,
so you were tweeting about eating dog meat.
Yeah. I just, a lot of people said that I got some replies saying, that it was wrong or it was bad. And it's just,
some of these people replying are probably American, and whether they know it or not, if they've eaten at any Panda Express, they've eaten dog meat.
Yeah.
We've all eaten a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyone that's eaten like Panda Express or any like Chinese, even PF Chang's, I think sometimes the sweet and sour chicken is actually sweet and sour golden retriever.
I think there was actually someone DM'd me today saying that there was like a ribs restaurant in like South Dakota or something that got caught serving dog, but all the people in the town were pissed off because they liked the ribs so much they just wanted them back.
It was Tony like a Roma's.
Wait, no, it was like a Chili's with the baby back rib song, but it was just
it was like a barbecue ribs restaurant.
That's how they would get the dogs. They would sing the baby back rib songs to them and they would come over and then they would kill them.
Like a dog whistle. I mean, so basically what I'm getting, not to stay on the dog meat subject for a while.
Let's talk about it the whole hour.
Yeah, the whole hour. Dog meat hour. That's actually, maybe we should switch the podcast to that. That's not a bad idea. So what I'm getting is dog meat could theoretically taste better than, say, you know, pork.
Yeah, I Googled it the other day. Well, I mean, I Googled it yesterday when I was thinking about it. And all the internet says that it's very sweet tasting. And I would expect that cat meat would be worse than dog meat. But everyone said that cat meat was better. So.
Oh, yeah. They straight up eat cats in like China and even Italy. Gatto, they'll eat them there sometimes, or they used to. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's I don't know if it's right or wrong, or. I mean, I don't think I'm doing it. Not that I know of. But I was just looking at your Twitter, and it looks like some of the replies, like Big Joe, he wrote in all caps, "We'll eat dog meat for likes." And I just liked it. So I guess he's going to eat dog meat now.
and she's been blocked.
Enjoy your dog meat, Big Joe. That's what I should write back. But I won't.
We'll give him a $10 gift card to Dog Meat Express. Salesforce, you make a good point. I'm in technology. That's my day job. So what are your thoughts on Salesforce? Obviously, that was an insanely funny joke. I hate Salesforce, but and I'm assuming you do too.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Salesforce, but I feel like it's more of a blind hatred. I mean, like one of the many jobs that I've had is I was an assistant at a financial office for a couple of years, but I don't understand what Salesforce is still. I don't know what they do. It seems to me like they don't do anything. Like, how is this one of the biggest companies in the world? It's so strange to me. You read about what they do and you're just like, what? What is that? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I've been in the industry for 15 plus years and I still am reading some of the descriptions for some of these companies that just come about. And it's just like, we do something at scale. And I'm just like, what does that even mean? And how are you guys building a $20 billion building in San Francisco? I don't know. It boggles my mind. And speaking of, you know, technology, food, and, you know, all this culture we're discussing now, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, but you're open to eating humans as well. And Justin has definitely a story about eating humans.
Oh, that's cool. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, you should listen to season 2, episode 3 with Average Fashion Blogger. I spoke about it. I actually didn't eat it that I know of, but a friend of mine did when he went to Bali. It's like it's at the end of the episode. So if you want to just skip through it all, you can get to the very end. And I tell the story. I recommend it. And so just to be clear, like Montana, when he's talking about Salesforce and you and everything, he's referencing stuff you've tweeted, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you tweet a lot of jokes and funny stuff on Twitter. Is that how did that happen? Is that something you just always wanted to do, or did you just start tweeting and it took off on its own? Like I'm looking at your Twitter as we speak, and yeah, you get really good engagement, which is something most people don't. Even big tweeters don't get as much engagement as you do right now. So how did that all come about?
Well, I mean, I guess I just have deep connection to posting my thoughts on the internet, because like I started using Tumblr all the time, like in the same manner that I used Twitter when I was like 12. And then, yeah, I just transitioned to using Twitter at some point, but I just, you know, it just feels good to me. Anytime I have a thought throughout the day, I just like to post when I'm talking. It's just my medium to just tell the people, decree to them my teachings and my message, I guess.
I like it. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to read one that you posted a day ago. You wrote, "It's messages like this that keep me going." And I think this is a message from someone. It says, "You are art in itself and express yourself well. I am tired of the speed of all comics and I am a fan of yours. And as Jesus Christ, I'm going to showcase your art of the faces being torn off like the nightmares of Yeshua. And you have brought me quiet and amusement, and you can never change. You're going to do talk shows and be known as my comic sister. And it just keeps going on. Is that a message you got from somebody?
Oh, yeah. There's this account. I forget what the handle is right now, but it was brought to my attention a couple weeks ago because it that they only follow me and the Pope, and they always just like have really long replies to my posts. And then I looked at my DMs with them and I was like, oh, they've been sending me like even longer DMs. But holy yeah, shit. It's pretty cool. I mean, I can't tell if it's like, you know, someone who's actually insane or someone who's just like feigning insanity. But it's cool. I either way.
I have an idea of who it is. You want to know?
Who?
It's Montana.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah, you got me. And speaking of Montana on Twitter, I did this little experiment where all Google searches I did then got tweeted to my account. It was a little plugin that I got from my friend, and him and I had a bunch of fun with it. So, for example, I would tweet, you know, Justin Purser hair, and then that would tweet Justin Purser hair. And of course, there was one workaround to this. If you go into incognito mode, that's Safari, or no, that's Chrome. Safari, I think, is just private. Then it wouldn't show what you're searching. I thought this was genius, but Twitter has now blocked this, and I forever will never use Twitter the same. So I just wanted to say thanks, Twitter, for destroying that idea.
Yeah, I would 100% use that if it was still around.
That's a great workaround. I wonder if there's other things you could plug in to that. Like I would like my text messages just to be tweeted out. Just my private text messages. I think that would be a good idea.
Oh yeah. With no context of who it's going to or whatever.
Summer, yeah. You're quite funny. Did you fancy yourself a comedian? I know you do art too. How did this all like? What's the story? Like what is the dream of yours to do with all this? Do you have a goal?
I don't really know what I'm doing. Well, I don't know. I guess like I definitely get referred to as a comedian or associated with comedians a lot, which is like fine. But I'm not, I definitely am going for laughs sometimes, but a lot of the time I'm not going for laughs. So, but then people will laugh anyways. I'm more just going in general to make people uncomfortable in some way. And I think a lot of the laughter I get is nervous laughter. Like people will frequently tell me that like the feeling they get when watching like the videos I make is like they're not sure if they're supposed to laugh or not. But yeah, like I went to art school, which I just recently completed. Well, yeah, I just recently completed like a couple months ago. And I'm like a painter or whatever. I fancy myself to be, I guess, like a performance artist, although I haven't done much real life performance art in almost 2 years for reasons that are probably obvious.
You know, whatever it is about Canada is quite funny. Like, I mean, the list of, you know, famous comedians like Leslie Nielsen, Phil Hartman, Dan Aykroyd, Mike Myers, Martin Short, like Jim Carrey, John Candy, like the list of Will Arnett, like they're the list of comedians that comes out of Canada. It's, I would argue it's more substantial than even like a list of comedians out of America, especially at this point. And it is just, I don't know. You guys are just born with funny, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's something about us. But yeah, like the comedian, there's more comedians coming out of Canada and they are funnier. And I feel like everyone I know in real life is funny enough to be a comedian if they wanted to. So,
well, you know what I just found out? This is kind of funny. Canada has a federation, kind of like a government oversight on maple syrup. I just found this out yesterday. Do you know anything about that, Summer?
Only like a little. I mean, it makes sense to me that there's a government oversight on maple syrup. We're producing like, almost all of the world's maple syrup. So
That's true.
Maple syrup and comedy.
Yeah.
Well, what I found out was people were selling barrels of government syrup, and they were selling it on the black market. There's an actual black market for maple syrup.
Yeah. There was a huge heist. There was like a massive heist a couple years ago. And it's really it wasn't a couple years ago. It was like 7 or 8 years ago. But it's really funny because on the night that the news broke about the massive heist, my mom came home with a box with a bunch of cans of maple syrup in it. And my friend, because we were in like grade 12 at the time, my friend hang out at my house, and she was like, girls, you need to help me put this maple syrup away. So it could have ties to the entire population.
Do you think your mom is involved with the black market?
No, I think it's just coincidence.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to get your mom in trouble on this podcast. I don't want her put away for life for having 3 bottles of maple syrup.
No, she wouldn't be a serious player. I think it was just a coincidence, but it was a pretty good coincidence that stayed in my mind.
Well, let me ask you this. Does your mom live in like a $300 million mansion?
No, definitely not.
Okay, well then, yeah, she's definitely not. Yeah, then she's definitely not in the underground illegal black market maple syrup.
Do you think anyone's ever used the term maple syrup game? Like, I'm in the game?
Oh, for sure. I can't elaborate on it any more than that, but for sure.
Yeah.
All right. We won't get into it for legal reasons, and the Mounties, the CIA, FBI, all that listen to our podcast. So, all right. So, Summer, what can you tell me about this video that got a lot of attention? Now it's like, 51,000 likes on Twitter. It's kind of blowing up on Facebook. It's, I am so stressed out from running my pet lizard Instagram account. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. What's behind all that? People are wanting to know.
What's behind it? Well, I guess it's just, me and my boyfriend, one of our favorite activities to do together is we go to this like kind of dingy jam space nearby where you can fully scream as loud as you want to and just like take turns screaming into the camera. And on that day, I was feeling really inspired, thinking, just like imagining someone who's so stressed out from running their pet lizard's Instagram account that they're going to have a nervous breakdown. So I, you know, riffed on that for a while.
And was that recorded with an actual VHS camera, or was that something with After Effects? Yeah. All right. Cause I was like, if this is After Effects, this is crazy. But okay. So that confirms in my mind, official VHS camera. Justin, have you seen this video?
I have. It's genius. It's great. And, you know, now knowing the backstory, I think it's even more interesting that there's a space you can go to and scream into a VHS camera in Canada, and that is what you chose to scream about. And you know what, you're not wrong, because I don't know if I know people that run Instagram accounts for their pets, not lizards but other pets, and like I feel like they have more stress about getting followers and likes for their animal than they do for themselves. It's like almost like they're letting their pet down if they don't get their pet, you know, famous and getting brand deals and stuff.
It so, means yeah, the I pet's could, not special. They might as well just
exactly.
Put it, down
it means
and
that,
eat
that
it.
Yeah,
dog
I
mean, meat.
You're right. It means that the animal that they purchased didn't turn out to be some famous special animal. And you know, yeah, maybe just take it to the back of a, you know, Panda Express and leave it behind the door, knock, and then leave.
Here's a really good idea. Ugly dog, make an Instagram account and have the Instagram account called Dog Meat. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would take it farther. You know, I think you could start an Instagram account. Should I eat this dog? And every day it's a different picture of a dog. And then people.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. It's like a Tinder. You swipe the dog and see if you want to eat.
Yeah. I'm swiping left on this.
Oh, yeah. Montana. Maybe this is a whole, you know, I think Summer, I think. Okay. So we do this segment on our show sometimes only when it comes up naturally, and it's coming up naturally right now. It's called Young Flamingo Financial, and we give advice. So here's what I think the three of us could start. Montana, he's a software engineer, so he could build it. Summer, you have experience in the dog meeting industry, and you're really funny, and you're an artist, so you could design it. And I don't know what I'll do, but I'll figure out something to do.
You can shoot the commercial. You're a director.
That's right. I'll shoot the commercial. So I think we build an app that's exactly what Montana said, where it's, you know, should I eat this dog? And then you get to swipe left and right. And it's just photos of people's dogs. And you can put up a picture of your dog and see if people are going to eat it or not.
Yeah, I would use that app all the time.
Every few months, we add a new animal. And then, yeah, it just keeps growing. Honestly, I would use it too. That'd be super fun. Just like lie in bed at night and swipe which dog or animal you would eat. Yeah.
Talking about swiping at scale, swiping dog meat at scale. And I think this is something that is going to take some Salesforce experience. So good to know that Summer has that as well. And speaking of Summer, I see that in this call here, SF is your initial. So Salesforce comes to mind. And
oh my God.
Yeah, you'd be the perfect fit. So I think really what we're seeing here is a synergy of really brainstorming, and what we've come up with is eating dog meat at scale via swipe.
Yeah, and that just gave me another idea, not to go on a tangent here, but I'm not satisfied with the name Summer Emeralds whatsoever. And I've been trying different names on, and I think Summer Salesforce is like really good.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I'm actually texting Salesforce right now to see if they'll invest in this dog swiping app. It looks like they're in. So it looks like we're going to be moving on this. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got to start cranking out my little fingers and start coding away then.
You code, I'll eat.
And Summer
Swipes? Yeah, you're the taste tester.
Yeah, I'll start taking pictures of dogs that I see. That's what I could do too. That's what I'll do. I'll walk around the streets. Well. Yeah, the dogographer. I'll walk around and I'll see like a picture. I'll see like someone with their dog and I'll be like, oh my God, your dog's so cute. Can I take a picture? And they'll be like, okay. And then I'll take a picture and be like, oh yeah, I just uploaded it to find out if people want to eat it or not.
Being so 100% serious, if I wasn't in that interaction on the street with my dog, I would not be upset. I just think people aren't chill enough. And if people got mad at someone putting their dog on a will you eat this dog app without their permission, then they have a problem. I just want to make that note.
In my personal opinion, people have sort of lost their minds with not being able to enjoy a joke or a dog.
Look, if you can't if I can't take a photo of somebody else's dog and put it on an app and see if someone will eat it, I don't want to live in this world. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
And speaking of things we can agree on, Justin, I think we can agree that we got the IBM printer fix, so we can now go into questions in a bowl if you have the Flamingo Bowl set up even, which I'm assuming you don't.
It's ready to go. I did that this morning. I woke up early so I could get up and go print these questions out. It takes a while, so it's a dot matrix. So Summer, it's a dot matrix printer. Running nice. Off a 1993 IBM computer that we bought from a guy named Craig who owns a list called Craigslist. And it's really slow. So, instead of recycling the questions, which I recycle, I throw them in the recycle, but I print out a brand new list every time and then I cut it. But it's, you know, it's so slow that I have to get up at, I had to get up at 7 a.m. this morning to get these questions.
It's like you're churning butter.
Butter printer, eating dog meat. That's what Justin does. Panda Expresses. You can find Justin a lot of the time behind Panda Expresses. That's where you can find him most.
Yeah, that's actually what my Bumble profile says. Find me behind Panda Express.
Just digging through the dumpster.
For dog meat.
I assume everything is dog meat nowadays, so... all right. Well, let's get into these questions in a bowl. So Summer, we sent you a list of about 20 questions, correct?
Yes.
And out of these 20 questions, I have them printed out. As I just said, I'm just going to repeat myself and they're in this bowl right here and I'm going to just pull them at random. And this is probably one of the most, not only the most exciting moments on our show, but I think in the world in general, I think this is probably one of the most exciting things happening today.
I correct? Agree.
Yeah. I don't think Summer agrees that this is.
I agree.
So. Okay. Okay.
I agree. I was just imagining other exciting things that could be happening. I was like, oh, someone could be skydiving off of that huge building in Dubai. And I was like, is that as exciting as this? No, probably not.
100% not.
Yeah.
I meant bungee jumping.
Whatever. Bungee jumping. Same, well, you can do thing. Either. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. You could bungee jump, then turn it into a sky jump. And it wouldn't, you know what? But it wouldn't matter because it's
tomato,
not more
tomato.
Exciting. It's not as exciting as questions in the bowl. So, yeah. All right. So I have the first question in my hand and we are ready to go. Here we go. What movie have you most recommended to others?
Oh, shit. That's a really hard question because I hate watching movies. Oh my God. This film actually changed my life. And it might sound insane, but when I was in my second year of art school, I took a class about the history of Las Vegas, best class I've ever taken. But 1 week we watched a film where it was just some woman was just like going around interviewing different people eating at Las Vegas buffets. It is my favorite movie I've ever seen. And it's so hard to find. Like, I had to order a DVD of it from the woman who made it because I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. And it's phenomenal. I've ripped lots of people copies. It's just amazing.
Do you know the name of it?
It's just called All You Can Eat Las Vegas. I think the woman who made it, her name is Natasha Skull.
That sounds absolutely amazing. And why don't you like to watch movies? Just out of curiosity.
I just don't like to sit down for that long. Sometimes I do. And like, you know, once a year I'll like watch all of the Lord of the Rings movies or something, but I'm just not that big of a movie or TV show head.
Highly recommend Homeward Bound with all those dogs.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorite movies when I was
It makes me so hungry when I watch it.
Homeward Bound meat.
That could be the name of our fake dog meat company, because if people need dog meat, we should start a fake dog meat company that sells fake dog meat.
Put the two dogs, I think it's two dogs in that movie, and the cat on the bag, on the packaging of the meat, so that they think specifically of whenever that little boy runs out at the end of the movie and hugs his dog or whatever.
Right. And that's exactly what you're thinking of when you pour the wet dog meat on your plate and you start stirring it and you look at it and you're just, okay, gonna take a bite. Which reminds me, bag of meat, you guys also have in Canada, which I'm very jealous of, bags of milk. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going around buying milk all the time. I feel like only serious milk drinkers drink it out of the bag.
Dog milk.
But yeah, it's great to touch.
It comes in a bag. How do you, like a Ziploc bag?
No, it's like a completely sealed plastic bag. And the method, most people put it in a firm plastic container and cut one corner off and then pour the milk out of the bag.
And what is the thought process behind putting it in a bag versus putting it in a jug? I have no idea.
I have no idea. Honestly, it's something I've pondered myself, but I've never actually Googled. My theory was that it's easier to store in the fridge, but
right,
because
it's more pliable. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have small refrigerators?
No. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really spent much time in the United States or like investigated people's refrigerators. So I don't know how ours compare.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
I just have to put this out there before I forget. Maybe it's like, you know, can of Coke, but then there's the bottle of Coke. Now, we all know the bottles of Coke taste better. Maybe it's something like that.
Oh, true.
I do think the bagged milk tastes better, honestly. Well,
there we go.
Interesting. Bagged milk, it just tastes better. Which leads us directly into our next question, which I've pulled, I'm holding, and it totally relates. What's your go-to cuss word?
I guess I'm pretty classic in that I just say shit or fuck all the time.
Yeah. If you had to choose shit or fuck, which one would you choose?
Oh, it's so hard. Right now, I think I would choose shit.
Yeah. I think everyone, you know, enjoys a good shit every now and then as much as they do a good fuck. So I think it's definitely a toss up. Shit fuck would be a good like combination. It's kind of Tourette's.
Yeah. I don't like combining. I don't see when it comes to cuss words, I don't know if you guys will feel the same way, but I don't like when people combine them and make new ones and switch it up. That's whenever you get into like
the occult.
Yeah. No, or like, you know, those people on Twitter who are like making up swear words all the time, like the guy Chuck Wendig or whatever, where it's like florp. McFuckface, daddy needy milky or whatever. Is he the one who made that tweet? But anyway,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that's funny either. I just like the classics. Like, come on, we have enough of everything else in this world. You know,
it sounds inauthentic whenever you're saying stuff like fuck muffin or something, shit burger.
Yeah, I agree. It loses its power because, you know, customer has to have power, and that doesn't feel
powerful. It's premeditating cursing. We don't none of that here.
I have two children, and something I let them cuss. I actually encourage it. I think it's funny. I teach them the most important thing I think about cussing is knowing when and where to do it. Like, you know, you can't do it in school in front of your teacher, but you can do it with your friends because you're going to cuss, right? Like, that's just part of human nature. So I think the most important part is just learning how and where to use it and when you can. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kids should be allowed to swear because they come up with creative, authentic, creative ones. Like, I have a brother who's like 5, and he called me a penis head last time I saw my God. Him,
yeah.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah, honestly, like, it's the end of the day, it's just words, and like, you're gonna do it. So don't say fuck you in front of your grandma. Like, don't say that.
But, I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we know you do. Okay, so third question. Here it is. What is something you are obsessed with?
That's very broad.
I know. Sorry.
Dog meat.
Dog meat. Yeah, I guess I could just go with that. I mean, I was only obsessed with that yesterday. It's like, it's different every day.
What could be, what is something you're currently obsessed with?
Currently obsessed with. I'm obsessed with just drinking. I just chain drink cups of hot water all day. I guess that's a good one.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love boiling hot water, but like with nothing in it. Like, I'm an old woman. That's been something that I've been on lately, like very seriously.
What do you get out of it?
It's just a different like experience than drinking cold water. It's a different flavor profile.
Boiling hot water. So no tea, no nothing. It's just,
well, I have some tea also, but you know, I'm not a millionaire. I can't go through tea all day. I can't burn up my supply.
I think this is the episode where I've learned the most from anyone. So
yeah, I thought about it for so long and I was like, oh, should I tell them what I've been researching? No. What I've been reading about? No, that's boring. We're going to talk about the hot water.
So our fourth question is coming in at, which app do you think has helped society the most? Which app do you think that has been developed and that people use has actually helped society today?
I'm going to say Twitter because it's like an outrage machine that directs your negative energy that might be used on yourself or people in your life. It just directs them towards random people you see on the internet. And I think that's made society a lot better.
Interesting. So you believe that rage directing has improved society as a whole?
Yeah, we redirect this rage that might otherwise be used on your spouse or the barista at Starbucks.
Yeah, whoever is tweeted back to you. Yeah, it's Twitter in itself is quite interesting because I believe when it launched, the idea was that it was amazing, going to like, you know, open up society in a sense that we would now know everything, right? Like, nothing could be hidden from us because everyone had a voice. Everyone could share things from around the world, you know, and the media couldn't control our narratives and what we believe. But what's interesting is it became the opposite, where people use Twitter for the most part. They just bury themselves in their own echo chamber. They just follow what they want to believe and what they want to hear, and they unfollow anything they don't. So what's funny is originally was intended and thought of became the complete opposite of what it actually is.
Yeah. And I think it's great.
No, it totally is great. And here's some fun facts. Jack Dorsey is obsessed with maps. So the whole thing was actually to tell your friends where you were going. So, you know, I would download Twitter, let's say in 2008 when it first launched, and I would say, hey, I'm going going to the movies. I'm eating French fries. Then people started using the @ in weird ways where it would tag other accounts on. And then obviously someone came up with the hashtag, and then you could start searching hashtags. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled into what we now know what Twitter is today, which is a rage machine.
That's interesting. Did Twitter invent the hashtag?
Twitter did not invent the hashtag itself. A user invented a hashtag on Twitter, and then Twitter then capitalized on that and then made it possible to search hashtags. And this all started because Jack Dorsey was obsessed with maps.
Of course he's obsessed with maps. I hope that the user who invented them didn't get compensated.
Me too.
Definitely did not get compensated.
You know what else was born on Twitter?
What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
The riot at the Capitol building in America was born on Twitter. All right, so let's get on to this final question. And this final question that I pulled, it's interesting because it brings us back sort of to the beginning of our conversation and our talk of funny people in Canada. Who is the funniest person you know of?
I know of or personally?
Either. You could do either. You could do your personal friend or someone famous that you just think is super funny.
Well, let's get this straight. I don't think anyone famous is funny.
I like that.
I would never watch a comedy special. I would never laugh at a comedy special. I would never watch a comedy film, period, because I just think you should get your laughs from people you know, which is what will lead me into saying it's hard for me to pick the funniest person I know, because I feel like they're all so funny. My answer to that question will be that you should not be getting your laughs from celebrities. Celebrities are not funny. Comedians, a professional comedian is not funny, period.
So you don't believe in the professional comedy world?
I don't believe in that at all. No, I just think once you've gotten to a point where you're making an audience laugh, you're not funny anymore. you shouldn't be, it's perverted. You know, you should be getting your laughs from your friends. You should be paying these celebrities and these jesters, these disgusting jesters who go on stage.
Sickening.
Yeah, and try to tell you a joke. You shouldn't be paying them no mind. It's immoral.
This goes back to the cussing. It's premeditated cursing. That's not funny. And that's premeditated laughs. You know,
premeditated joking. Either. Premeditated. Yeah, right.
It's not funny.
Premeditated jokers. So I have a question then.
Yes.
People find your Twitter funny, what happens?
Well,
her Twitter is more like a stream of consciousness, if I'm wrong. Correct me.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said before, I'm not going for laughs. You know, I'm not going for laughs here. If you laugh, that's your problem. But I guess the difference is that I don't think, I'm not a celebrity. I'm an open book. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, there could be no parasocial relationship with me. Because simply by following me, you know me personally. So it is a friendship. Therefore, it's still pure.
That's great. I love all this. And this is such a different take than most people. And I love different takes. And I have an idea. Like, obviously, you're never going to do professional comedy because you don't like it and you think they shouldn't. But
if someone came to my door today and was like, hey, I'll give you $10,000 to do professional comedy, of course I'm not crazy.
Okay, so if that happens and you get paid to like have your own special on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, I think you should call it If You Laugh, That's Your Problem.
That's pretty good title, I would say.
It's your words, you said it, and I think that's great. If You Laugh, That's Your Problem.
And your tour should be called the Mandatory Vaccination Tour. That's good. That is good.
No, Mandatory Vacation Tour. And then people will get angry because they think it says vaccination.
Mandatory attendance.
Yeah. And then I think the sponsor of your tour should be our artificial dog meat company or our dog meat eating swipe company app, I think.
Well, I'll just do both. Yeah. Go hand in hand anyway.
Well, I think we're going to get this money for you to do this tour just through these business ventures that we've created.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think we're all going to keep in contact after this because we do want to start this swiping dog meat company, and we're going to swipe this along, I feel.
I think we, at this point, we have to legally stay in touch because we have businesses together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% true.
We're all in business. We just learned that. All right. Well, talk to you guys soon.
Nice. So it's much. A pleasure doing business with you.
Pleasure doing business with you, Summer. And thank you for coming on Flamingo Club and Young Flamingo Financial. It was a pleasure. And I really do hope you come back.
And Summer, at the end of this episode, so we'll do an outro. So when it comes out, you want to listen, because Montana and I don't know if you know this, after every episode, we debate if our guest should become an honorary member of the Flamingo Club, the Young Flamingo.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you'll get to find out. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to, like, you just try to get some sleep over it, you know, like, don't freak out. We don't want you to, like, lose sleep, but.
Well, I hope to God that I get in.
Yeah. I mean, of course, who doesn't? After we decide, we'll go through some of the perks. So you get to hear some of the things that you either missing out on or that you now have access to. So,
okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was great. I learned a lot, and I'm excited to have you as a business partner.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun recording this.
Yeah.
I'm doing a handshake right now. Handshake. Yeah.
Good. I like it. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you guys. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
That might be our best.
No, I actually think so. The whole, like, Starbucks thing, and then you like saying, like,
get a grande. And I'm just like, that's the maniac in you.
Yeah, that's good. The reward for him. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, let's outro this mother.
All right. Well, you heard it from Summer Emerald herself about all the lizards in Canada and Yellowknife and all the snow. And I'm going to hand this one off to you, as I usually do, Justin, because it's just the way we run things here at this joint. What do you think? YFC inductee?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if we have anyone from Canada in the Young Flamingo Club. So I thought about that this morning. I was like, well, we don't have anyone of our fellow northern neighbors in the club. So if we are to open one day a Young Flamingo Club up in Canada, she would be great to have, you know, she could help set it up and also could, you know, set up her VHS camera possibly, and we could make our own lizard videos.
Very true. So I'm getting a good yes from you.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I just like the fact that, like, it was so cool to me that she, like, doesn't think she's funny, doesn't like famous comedians. Like, I mean, I love famous comedians, but, like, I don't have a problem with anyone else liking different things or thinking different things. And I just think that was kind of a fascinating mindset. She's very interesting. I really enjoyed speaking with her.
Yeah, it's kind of like a reverse mirror almost. It's really interesting. I say let's take Young Flamingo Club nationally at this point. I say, yeah, let's get Summer Emerald in here. And Young Flamingo Club is now officially national.
Yeah,
it's international.
International. Yeah, it's international. We'll get Summer to set that up. I mean, as you heard in the podcast, we already have a business agreement with her where we are creating the dog eating swiping app. So, you know, as we mentioned, picture of a dog will come up on your phone on the app, and then you'll swipe if you want to eat it or not. And you can also upload your dog and see how many people want to eat it. So we'll be working on that in the meantime. We'll probably be working out of the club in Canada.
Yeah, and actually, we just made a deal with Panda Express to get all their data. So that again, this is a collaboration between Panda Express and the stock swiping eating app that we're creating. So anyways, I definitely, it's a good for me. She's a go. Actually, speaking of, we're now in Canada and UK via Sydney, Lima. So think of that.
Yeah, we're really growing. Speaking of growing, we also, Montana created a store. And you can buy things there. Although we don't want you to. Please do not buy anything from our store.
Really don't. It's too much of a hassle. We have to go to the post office, get away. Please don't buy anything from the store. Don't share the store. Don't talk about the store. Really, if you create this episode, it's for you and only you.
For only you. In Montana, where can people, we don't want them to find the store, but where would they not find the store?
They wouldn't find the store if they go to youngflamingo.club/shop. They wouldn't find it there.
That's okay, sure. Good. So let's tell them that's where they not find it, and do not buy anything. And then again, as we remind you, this is for you and you only. So do not share this with your friends. Do not buy stickers from the club and put them around. I'm sorry. Do not buy stickers from the store and put them around your neighborhood and share them with your friends and put them on places people see, because we don't want anyone to find out about this podcast. So please do not buy stickers. Do not post them around town.
So no public mutiny, putting them on polls, letting everyone know what we're all about, getting us more traffic. We don't want any of that. It's only for you. So with that being said, you and only you should check out the store.
Yes, check it out, but don't buy anything. And that is the end of today. So thank you guys, and we will see you next week.
Later.
Young Flamingo Club.
It's good. I like it.